The Delicious Recipe with your host, Adele, here on 107.7 FM, New Orleans Talk Radio. Also check out www.uprntalkradio.com. Become a member on YouTube, and you can see us live on YouTube right now. It is, what I got here, it's 8 Eastern, 7 Central. And also, what do we else here? We're also live on Twitch too now. And later on, you can check us out on BitTube, where it'll be also loaded. And you can check us out on any other platform that that has a podcast. And just check out for UPRN. And if you want to check out that Delicious Recipe and a host of other shows that are on this channel, UPRN. And there's a lot of stuff, and if you become a member, there's extra content that you can get available, and also go back into the archives and check out past shows like this, The Delicious Recipe, with your host, me, Adele. So, Monday night, or about a week out of the election, so what are we going to call this one there tonight? So I think I called this one Baking Thoughts. So it's going to be sort of just sort of a collection of different things that are going on and just some of my thoughts and stuff that I've been picking up, cruising through the ether of the internet and watching different shows, different news broadcasts, which is really important to do, that I always say, is to check many sources, get all the information from multiple places there so you can form your own opinion, and plus also then you're informed and you know about things. Like we're going to get into tonight here, talk about, you know, some of the election stuff. I know there's a lot of channels have been talking about that, and as this channel, Delicious Recipe, we talk about conspiracy, mystery, world issues, where we take everything from all different sides, all the different ingredients, we throw it in the pot and we see how it comes out at the end and how it's going to taste for us. But like everything, some things or flavor to some people, and some people don't like it, and other people love it. So that's the whole thing about it, is getting as much information out there and learning about information. And like I said, history is very important, and learning about history and learning about the true facts and origins of things is important to understanding and growing here and growing your knowledge base. And then you know where things are coming from. So, and like I say too on here, is that just don't believe everything that I say. Go out and research me, research the stuff that I give you, and check out your facts on that stuff as well, because it's important to be well informed. You just can't listen to one channel, can't listen to one news source, one newspaper, one radio show, and think that they're got all the facts, they got all the knowledge, because that's not actually the case. And it all depends on what political way they align, or their own thoughts and belief, their faith, their religion or non-religion, that they things get skewed in a certain bias towards what they believe. So as we're going on through here, so I write down here in my stuff here, it says, so tonight it'd be a cacophony of verbiage mixed with dark sarcasm and humor. My thoughts and opinions are always up to subtle change. With the addition of knowledge seeking and learning over time, you become better off at understanding the world and the reality in which you live in, which I think is sort of important, because I've noticed listening to, watching the peer groups and other people and stuff like that, that people usually skew their belief system on what they believe or what they've been taught and told. And we've talked about that many times on here, about the importance of asking questions. And I've given that old thing there, as a little child, you're always asking questions, always asking why, what, where, when, why. And it becomes sort of annoying to some people, but go to school and you start being programmed of why, all the five W's, who, what, where, when, why, how. And you end up, you learn through that system, and you end up regurgitating the system. That's the only way you can move forward in the system. So as you go through, and then later on, after you graduate from school or whatever, and you go on to go into adulthood and live your life and stuff like that, a lot of people stop asking questions. They believe what they've been told. They regurgitate that information and they don't seek out other sources. And that's what I would say is really important, is to seek out more information. It says you can never stop learning in this life, and you just can't take one person's opinion over and throw out all the rest. You have to be able to form your own understanding, and that's what growth in knowledge is all about. So what do we got going on here? So we got a week or so, what is it, next week, November 3rd, I believe it is. You have your election coming up. You have the two parties that are basically in the show for running things. And just like up here in Canada, where I'm from, we have our own issues that are up here. You have just even recently up here in Canada, we had a vote in our parliament about a no confidence against our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau. And there's been it's been shown and brought to awareness that there's been some sort of ethics violations due to money transferring, money going into his own family's pockets, and friends, government contracts going to friends of the prime ministers and the party or whatever. So that ended up going into a vote to see about kicking him out of office, and that was turned down. And I guess the reason being for, and the a couple of the reasons I've seen online and through some videos, was it's not the time during this COVID-19 scare pandemic. That country couldn't handle an election at this time, especially with what's going on in the States with this election. I think it's all going to be pending on that too as well, because the U.S. election does affect globally, plus also here in Canada, because we're sitting right next door. And said this before, is that like a population of Canada, I think what the stat is, it's about 66% of the population of Canada lives within 100 kilometers. I guess that'd be about 60 miles or so of the U.S. border. So we're heavily impacted by trade and by culture. And so basically what happened, that it was thrown out, it was turned down, that they turned down the no confidence vote. So he maintains an office. And I think it was more or less due to political standing, because if they were going into an election time here in Canada at this time, a lot of the other parties, like we have the Bloc Québécois, we have the NDP, the Progressive Conservatives, the PCs, the Liberals, then you got the NDP's the Green Party, and a bunch of other little random other ones there. But for the seats in Parliament, it runs basically almost the same sort of similar thing. You have elected seats, and up here we have premiers instead of state governors and that. But you end up, the parties were sort of vying for, would this be purposeful for us to maintain the seats that we have, or would this end up basically smacking us in the rear end, and they end up have a less of a foothold, because Canadian politics is sort of a little bit weird. We're not as free speech wise thinking as the U.S. is, and a very different Canada is more like a melting pot of multicultural nationalism that has been heavily influenced by well, like I said, OSF, George Soros funded dissident, social dissonance chords. We still have like the same problems that are happening in the States with BLM and Antifa members up here. Not as much as being going in the news as what it is, but we also have a big, huge problem with gender sexuality debates and the alphabet genders versus the rest. It's just a weird mix that's happening here in Canada. So going over to what's happening in the States, what I've sort of observed as being a sort of an outside influence looking in into this political climate. So we've had two debates, and very different debates. If you watched the last debate, which was sort of interesting, watched the whole thing, and you could see how questions were sort of skewed a certain way, but I thought Donald Trump did an actually pretty good job. I'm sort of leaning that way anyways. I think that for me, myself, looking at this, I think that you have, out of the two parties, you have one, you have a half of the basically the U.S. that hate the Republicans, or basically they just, not even Republicans, they just hate Donald Trump, and that, which is sort of weird. He's a businessman looking to, and how did I break this down here? Okay. So you have a businessman, he makes businesses grow, but he's also brash, unfiltered, but he also has a winning drive, and he's also can communicate. And that's what I guess you sort of look at it. So say you break it down as a person. So remove Trump, Biden, the name out of it, but look at it as a person as a whole. So a businessman that's looking to succeed in business and grow his home country, basically say you make the US say a business like that, to go out, bring wealth in, create jobs. That's the sort of the game plan of what the Republicans are sort of doing to strengthen the country as a whole. Now you go to the DNC side. Now you get a lot of stuff about Joe Biden, or even just career politician. What did I say? It's been shown even with this Biden, Hunter Biden stuff there, that there's been some other dealings that the family has been sort of pursuing while he's been in office. And with this, this laptop and stuff on there, it's been proven that the stuff on there is legitimate. And I guess it's just a matter of time until more stuff comes out about it. But there's been talks of dealings with Russia, Ukraine, China, and the Middle East, and basically there to profit his family and to profit his family to grow millions and millions of dollars. Like it's been looked at too, is about, okay, what is his salary? Around $300,000 a year, but his bank accounts are in the millions of dollars. Same with his son. So what do you have there? So you go as a person. So get rid of the Biden name and just go as a person. What do I have here? Has trouble with a train of thought. And you've seen that in the debates. And you've seen that even in interviews on mainstream media news. And it's really sort of interesting. Family stuck in a scandal, which has been proven. Track record has been negative towards the population. And that's been brought up many times. And you've seen this many times whenever the party leader that's running for president has been asked certain questions about what the platform is and what it stands for. And there's been the fracking deal. He's been talking about that he's stopping fracking. But then you got to look at the problem with that, the oil and gas industry. How is he going to upset that? And millions of workers, put millions of workers out of jobs. And they have this Green New Deal that they want to implement, which is, I think I talked about or mentioned this. You can go back in there. I talked about this Agenda 2030, and that sort of follows along with this this DNC sort of a plan, this movement towards 2030 going totally green. And I had it written down here in one of my other notes here past this coronavirus stuff, but basically, it's take urgent actions. This is number 13 of the Agenda 2030. And this is similar to what the DNC is. Take urgent action to combat climate change and its impacts. Conserve sustainability, use the ocean, seas, and marine resources for a sustainable environment. Protect, restore, and promote sustainable or terrestrial ecosystems. Right. So these are stuff that they want to do. And I think the environment's very, very important. I studied environmental engineering in college for a couple of years and worked for the Ministry of Environment and Energy Canada for two summer contracts. So I know how government sort of works and see how it goes. But you have to look at infrastructure. So you have one party that's looking at building up a country. You got another party that's looking at changing the whole country. So if you look at the DNC stuff, is to get rid of firearms, to remove a lot of rights, to change. So DNC is change taken away. That's the way I sort of see it. You may see it a little bit different, but that's always open to interpretation. Changing things, basically government becomes your overlord and parent and controller of your reality. And I don't know. It's a sort of a bleak sort of future. And I think even with the dealings that have been coming up in I guess you would say international dealings, things look a little sort of sketchy in that thing. And then that's why I say that it sort of it affects Canada and how things sort of go with trade. And like if countries aren't willing to deal with the U.S. or there's problems with that, how does Canada deal with that? I know we are separate in all retrospect, but we are linked continentally. And we share one of the longest, is it unarmed borders, I think, in the world. So a lot of stuff to go on, a lot of stuff to think about. So I would think about as you're looking into what's going on with politics, I think you should look into how is the party going to benefit you? And I think that's the way to go. The way I'm sort of looking at it, business-wise, I would go with the businessman than the career politician that has done nothing for 47 years except basically imprison control over the population when they've sort of been into power. So that's enough about politics in a way. So what else do we got going on here? We're still going through this COVID-19 situation, and I've mentioned this on several occasions, and I think a lot of information that's sort of been coming out with COVID-19, especially recently, I've noticed up here in Canada that they're showing these increases of infectious rates. And one thing I want to stress, and I think you should also think about, is that being infected does not mean you're going to die from COVID-19. It just means you're infected with it and you'll get over it, right? It's not a death sentence. And I think that's the part that this media and this the political leaning of, like, especially here in Canada, they're showing rates of like, oh, well, there's 1,000 new infections or people tested positive now. And they give this percentage all the time. And I've talked about percentage many, many times. And there's a big problem with the numbers that I see. And if you look at it, is that if you're doing this, how to put this, I'll dumb it down for myself so I understand it as well. So if you test 100 people, and so one person is infected with or test positive. So you have a 1% a rate of infection out of the 100 people. Okay. Now, if you do that and you go up to 1,000 people, it's 10, you're still at 1%, right? But that doesn't refute or to basically picture the whole entire population, right? At the very beginning, they were testing just, when the tests were actually working, they were testing people that going into hospitals testing positive, and then until they actually even got test kits that were actually viable, that were actually showing that there was an infection, that they weren't damaged kits. But they started putting numbers that anybody that passed away from during this time were all considered COVID deaths, even though they could have pre-existing conditions. And just like many other death rates that happen year to year, so just even put 2020 out of the way and you go back into 2019, they had like over 600,000 people died of the year of the flu. And that's just that. So that those numbers are still, and the year before that, I think it was around 700,000. Then around, this is close to whatever, 750,000 people in North America, or I think it was North America or the U.S., die of certain illnesses. So that's just the flu. Now you count into people dying of cancer or HIV/AIDS, people dying of any other diseases and old age and stuff like that. Well, anybody that died, and it's been shown in many other reports and that if you weren't sure, or if not, you just marked them all down as COVID deaths, right, to increase the death rate number, right? It's to increase this protection to put regulations and restrictions on. And we've seen this here in Canada, especially down in Southern Ontario. See, up here, Southern Ontario, huge population, Northern Ontario, a lot more spread out, very small population, probably maybe 1% as comparison to population between Southern and Northern Ontario. And so you have a huge population down there, which is more massively congested together. And here the difference. So as you go through with numbers and they keep on doing this, and the news will keep on saying, okay, well, we have 1,000 new cases of COVID infection tested positive, but you've also increased the number of tests that you've given out. So if you go and you test, so before, say you're doing 100 tests a day, and now you're doing 10,000 tests a day, of course you're going to get a skew in the numbers where you're going to have that. So see, in marketing, and I use this very, you skew numbers to your side to present or to benefit the point that you're trying to make. So if they go, I think it was just recently they said on the news here that they found an increase of a thousand more people with COVID positive tests. Now, 1,000 positive tests doesn't mean 1,000 people are going to die. And that's the part that they don't ever tell you, right? So they put this scare, this fear thing, and says, oh, the increase of people catching it is increasing. We have to do this. We got to get this vaccine out there. We got to do more restrictions, shut down this. And you see how this has worked. Basically, here in North America, shutting down small businesses. They shut down all the small businesses, shut down restaurants, everything like that. But they went and kept maintaining the grocery stores, big box business stores, online business stores, and those things are making all the money, and all the small little locally owned stores are struggling to keep up. And you look at there's been no real help in government funding in the States and in Canada. I think whether or not you are eligible and are lucky enough to get anything that helps you out. So you've got a real strain on people's mentality and just life with dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. So you get increase of tests, you get increased numbers, and now you end up you get government causing more and more restrictions. Now they've talked about this. They talked about that during usually cold time, now you have a flu season where you have flu, and whether or not they're going to conflate those and put those into COVID-19, also infections as well. You never know, but there's a whole big thing. So they're looking at here in Canada, I think our Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has ordered 37 million syringes, and I believe that's from China, which is seems to really be a weird place to order syringes from, especially since that's where the virus sort of originated from. So that to come in, and then to have this vaccine that's given. Now, I was looking into vaccines, and I found this sort of interesting to myself, but maybe it might be interesting to you. So I've been hearing that there's two things, the word vaccine and then also therapeutic vaccine. So I went and looked up with this, and this is the way to do this, way to find out stuff. So a vaccine is administered to individuals as a precautionary measure to avoid the infection or disease of infection. Okay. So that's preventative. I think they call it a prophylactic vaccine. So that's something you get before so you do not get infected. Now, the one that I've been hearing turned around there is a therapeutic vaccine. Is a vaccine administered after the disease or infection has already occurred. The therapeutic vaccine fights the existing infection in the body rather than immunizing the body for protection against future diseases and infections. Right. So this is the sort of the question I sort of bring up there. And I think this is a question that everybody should ask is, so say you've tested positive with this COVID-19 strain of the virus, and you went through it and you beat it, and you've recovered from it and you're doing well. why would you need to have a vaccine afterwards if you already have the antibodies in your body? Because that's what it is the therapeutic is sending a dead form of the vaccine of the virus into you, so your body antibodies against the antigen, the virus, so that you have it there to protect yourself from getting it. That's a part of the vaccine. And now this therapeutic vaccine is to basically help your body. This is what I understand out of it, is to start your body in creating more antibodies to help in getting over or helping systems that were affected, which I don't see that as being a positive or negative. I think anything that you put into your body affects you in a way that is different for everybody. So whether or not this comes down to likely in Australia. Now, this is a weird situation here. Australian, they have no jab, no pay, and that they're actually calling this a voluntary thing. So you either get the vaccine I'm not even sure if it's therapeutic or vaccine, I'm not sure which one it is. But if you don't get it, you don't get any government funding, no money. So they're basically putting this as, well, you can refuse, but you won't get any government assistance. And I think I was also watching on the news for New Zealand, is that what they're doing is that if you're found infected with the virus or test positive, they put you into a quarantine, into a camp. And I'll get into camps about this too, because there was an interesting story that popped up here in Canada about this. You're put into a camp and you're held for your 14 days. So after your 14 days of being isolated, and which is the World Health Organization, I think, has put it around 10 days, but New Zealand's putting it 14, you have the option of getting the vaccine shot or stay in isolation again for another 14 days. And after that, either take the shot or stay in isolation again, right? So it's either you lose your freedom, get the shot, you're allowed to go free, or you lose your freedom. So that's sort of a really weird thing. And I said before, Five Eyes is a spy network, a joint spy between five nations, Canada, US, UK, Australia, and New Zealand, which is all there. And if you're aware of what the Five Eyes is that it's a spy network to protect these four countries or five countries together, and allows you're not allowed to spy on your own country, but you can have your members of Five Eyes do that for you. So there's little plays in logistics that go around with that. But so with being part of that, you wonder if that's how it's going to go for here, if Australia and New Zealand are already pushing these policies of mandatory vaccines, which I'm totally against, you have to worry or think that maybe it might come this way. So as another part of a news part there, there was a report or a part that came up there, and off of another news network here in Canada, Rebel News, and it was brought up by Ezra Levant. And it was under the current emergency order in council. So it was a bid for service providers from the Public Works and Government Services Canada. So they put out an RFI and interest of bids for these camps that there's already 11 of them already, these quarantine camps that are across Canada right now. So I'll just read this quickly here and you'll see what it is. So under the current emergency order in council, all travelers arriving in Canada must have a suitable place to isolate or quarantine. So if you're coming in here, so some people, their house might be that, but if you don't have a suitable place, they have a place for you to go, and which is a camp, okay? So Public Health Agency of Canada, we'll just call that the PHAC or PHAC, is currently managing 11 designated quarantine sites. So we'll call those DQSs, designated quarantine sites, in 9 cities across Canada with the capacity to lodge up to 1,600 travelers. PHAC regional staff are responsible for the management, okay, just management of 9 of these DQSs, designated quarantine sites, with logistics, cleaning, transportation, food, nursing services provided by external providers. So the PAC, the PHAC, is just there for management, and the third party is doing all the rest of the stuff. So right now they have 11 sites. So these are sites that for people that are traveling in by either land, sea, or air coming into Canada, they'd be held at these current DQS locations. So there's one in Calgary, Vancouver, Kelowna, Winnipeg, Regina, Toronto, Montreal, Halifax, Fredericton, St. John's, and Whitehorse. So right across from east to west and up north from the border of the U.S. up there. So there's 11 sites. Now, they also have a potential in their potential other sites if these ones fill up or cannot handle capacity, or for whatever reason it's designated by the Public Health Agency of Canada. So other sites they have that can be built and put in there. And that's what these tenders are out there for, companies to build these quarantine sites. And these ones aren't built yet, but these are proposed to be built in the next 1 to 2 years. Saskatoon, Windsor, Niagara, Ottawa, Sault Ste. Marie, Winnipeg, Thunder Bay, Quebec City, Charlottetown, Iqaluit, and Yellowknife. Now, why all these extra sites? Okay, so you gotta figure that for international travel, you got land, sea, and air. So basically, there's only four terminals here in Canada that are taking international flights, which are Vancouver, Calgary, Toronto, and Montreal. And so, and basically our borders are closed to recreational travel. I think they've opened partially there to immediate family can travel over, but that's about it. But recreational travel has been sort of suspended still as of yet. I haven't heard any news otherwise. So as this goes on in this solicitation number, and that's a solicitation number that was done by the Public Works Government Service of Canada, 6D112-202772/A. So at this time, the DQS are being used to address the COVID-19 14-day quarantine requirements for international travelers not having a suitable place to isolate. Over time, the use of these DQS may be temporarily discontinued until needed again by the Government of Canada, or may be used for other requirements. In anticipation of a possible continued need for DQS over the next 1 to 2 years, PHAC is considering having third-party service providers manage existing sites and consider expanding to the other Annexe list. That was that potential further sites. So these can end up being is that these sites can be done, instead of being quarantined, they could also be similar. This is what the train of thought is being, and this isn't conspiracy thinking. This is just seeing how the progression of government in control, being the overlord dictator that it seems to be right now, making requirements and legislation and regulation to create these temporary, or they will become maybe permanent sites, alternate sites too, as well, to people that do not follow this no jab, no pay, or as in New Zealand there, quarantine. And if you don't accept immunization, you may have to go to one of these sites. These are, they're not called internment camps, so they're called quarantine sites, right? So you have to worry about public knowledge to what is being propagandized towards the population. So there's a huge amount of, sidedness on what is actually needed for to get through this COVID-19 pandemic, which it seems to be that their numbers seem to be really, really skewed in a certain direction that I don't know. You can play it whatever which way you want to do. You can be whatever. I think, hey, wearing masks, great. If you want to wear them, you get used to them. And that's the way it is, right? It says the keep on ports and stuff, you get used to it so that you're just regular, the new normal, right? And so that when the next new normal comes, you're just ready for the next part of the new normal. But you can see how, if you're looking at news stories and that, they're saying that this is increasing, it's mutated, we need to get everybody immunized, get everybody, that's what I just said, a therapeutic or a prophylactic or a pre-vaccine, or is this a therapeutic vaccine for people that already have it or not? I don't know. This there's a lot of information that's not being out there that's of what exactly things are. And then you look at here in Canada that with the buying of 37 million syringes to administer a vaccine, and the population in Canada is around that 37 to 40 something million people. That seems pretty apparent that there's a syringe with everybody's name on it to take this. And if you don't end up taking it, you may fall the way of Australia and New Zealand, where you actually sort of are put into a place. You don't receive any money. You don't receive any assistance. You may not be able to go to a store unless you show a card, or this is what I was talking about before, about the chipping people and or having some sort of tracking there or some sort of card that says you've already received. Now you're able to go into that store and buy your groceries or whatever, your toiletries or whatever you need. It seems to be sort of heading this way, this sort of this future of government control. And hopefully I'm wrong on this, but I don't know. It seems to, when certain little things sort of happen, and this, you see patterns like this, when they take little bits, and this has happened all through history, as they chip away at you, they remove more of your freedoms, you never ever get them back. It's the same thing. It's like, hey, we're going to put this in here, put this tax in here to benefit this. And then once this is done, we'll remove it. Well, they never remove everything, anything. Once something's put into play, it stays in play, and until it's altered or changed a little bit, but it's never ever removed. And that's like all things. So as we look at this, this 2020, so we've had a pandemic that's been widely scrutinized and politically manipulated, I think, in a huge way to control the population. Travel's been restricted, food's been restricted. We have here in Canada coming in 2021, the removal of certain types of plastics. So when you go to, I think it's plastic bags, the grocery bags removed. So whether this continues to be the same thing as your garbage bags, because it's the same plastic, plastic bottles like your Coke 2 liter or plastic bottles that stuff come into, your condiments that are in the store, bags that you have that your bread comes in, your bag of potatoes, anything that's plastic seems to be that are going to be removed here in Canada by the end of 2021, which will, I guess that's another thing, will cause a huge impact in production and in importing goods, because other countries aren't having that. And whether or not we accept them as an import coming into the country, you might find here in Canada that a lot of items, ingredients, your favorite types of food, or even equipment, however it's packaged, might be refused come the end of 2021, because it doesn't meet our government regulation standards that they've imposed into effect here. So a lot of play that government does for the country and the population. Like, you always think that government should be there to improve the country, improve the infrastructure, make things better for the country in a way as infrastructure, make things cheaper. Like, I always think this, like, inflation, it makes no sense in a way, right? Like, as technology increases, I've said this many times there, things should be easier and cheaper, right? It's like you have a field, one person plants a field of potatoes. It takes them probably a month and probably a month to go and dig them all up by hand. As technology comes in, you get a tractor, you can do it faster. You need less people to do the job. Now you can do, instead of a field, you can do a football field, then a huge acre, then 10 acres, 20 acres, all by one person, and you increase your yield. So the potato itself hasn't changed. It's still the same potato. 50 years ago, the potato might have cost you 1 penny. Now the potato costs you 25 cents. So it's gone up 25 times of what it is, right? So that's things like that. Certain things should not be costing us more and more and more and more, but that's because of government spending and using that and increasing what they're doing with international trade, money markets all around there, big bankers controlling the whole entire system. And there's many, many shows you can watch about that, about how the big banks are basically controlling most of our every day-to-day life. But as we get on, so government, COVID, during this time, let's go into a story that goes close to Halloween. So I was thinking about this story last week, and last week we had some technical difficulties, so we weren't on last Wednesday, but I was on with Lord during her show. So I had a story there, and this actually sort of comes into this whole thing, and maybe you'll see how the way that I look at it. I think of it as the reality and illusion of control and consequence. And it's the story of Stingy Jack. Now, you can look this. I watched this story on YouTube. I watched a video of it, and I looked it up on Wikipedia too. And both of them are sort of similar. I think they're both taken from the same sort of source. But I sort of did the same thing, and I sort of took it there. I've basically almost written it down almost the way that YouTube Wikipedia had done it there, with some slight sort of changes to it. But you'll see, as we're coming close to Halloween here too, so the veil, Halloween, Samhain, which is supposed to be the cross point between the solstice and the equinox there, where the veil of the otherworldly thins, and that's this whole thing that with this Halloween stuff. So where the people from the other world, the nether world, can cross over and into our world. That's the whole part about Halloween, pagan Samhain celebrations, where they ended their winter harvest with a celebration and celebrating the dead, and also had big bonfires outside. And they also put turnips in their window with an ember in there to ward off the evil spirits. And they wore costumes out there so they'd hide from evil spirits. So I found this story sort of interesting. I heard it many, many years ago, so I'll sort of relay it to you here. But it's sort of an interesting sort of story. So Stingy Jack, who was he? He was in Ireland, a drunkard and a deceiver, a manipulator, an all-around bad man. One fateful night, Satan overheard the deeds of this silver-tongued man. The devil went out to find this man, Jack, unconvinced of the rumors the devil had heard. That night, drunk Jack was out wandering and came across a body on the path with a grim face. The devil was there to collect wicked Jack. Jack made one last request, as being the deceiver, manipulator that he was, that to go to the tavern and drink some ale before departing to Hades. They proceeded, and Jack drank his fill. At the end of the night, Jack told Satan to pay the bill. Jack, with his slippery tongue, convinced the devil to transform into a silver coin and to pay the tab. When this happened, the devil transformed into a coin. Jack took the Satan coin and put it in his pocket that contained a crucifix, thus trapping the devil in his pocket. So the devil complained to be let out. So Jack made a deal with the devil to release the devil. He said, "Give me 10 more years to spare his soul." And so The devil agreed, and Jack released the devil. 10 years later, on that date, the devil returned to collect Jack. So, Jack, knowing this is the end, has come again. He asked Satan if he could have an apple to quell his starving belly. The devil agreed. Climbing a nearby apple tree, Satan fetched the fruit. While Satan was in the tree, Jack surrounded the trunk of the tree with crucifixes, thus trapping the devil once again. Jack struck up a bargain once again, that his soul may never be taken to Hades, to hell, ever again. And in accordance to releasing the trapped devil, Satan agreed. Life continued for Jack. He continued on with his wicked ways and his wheeling and dealing and drinking. And Jack eventually dies. As he dies, his soul goes up to heaven. And Jack is refused from entering due to his wicked ways. So Jack went to the underworld, to the gates of hell, asking to take his soul in. But because of the deal, Satan refused. So he was stuck, right? Because Satan gave Jack an ember to warn others, marking him as a denizen inhabitant of the netherworld. From that time forth, Jack is doomed to walk the world in between the planes of good and evil with only an ember inside a hollowed turnip to light his way. And that was the sort of thing that back in the old pagan days is that they would light, they would carve out turnips and they'd put a light or an ember in there and that would glow as to warn off spirits from the netherworld that were crossing over during this time of Samhain, during this this celebration time. And looking through there is that there wasn't pumpkins over there in the old world, Ireland, Scotland, and that. And they were over in the New World. So when they came, when settlers from those parts came over here, they found pumpkins much easier to carve out, bigger, carve a face, put a light in it. And that's probably part of the way is why we have these pumpkins that are in our windows or in our stories, that we carve a pumpkin, put a light in there to use to warn off the spirits, to looking back at the old rituals from then, since a turnip might be a little bit messier than a pumpkin is. And pumpkins look a lot nicer anyways. But going on that, so you have that story of this person that walks out in the night carrying the pumpkin, and you have that with trick-or-treaters carrying lights in sort of that way. So interesting story of that. So you have a guy that tried to play by his own rules, and if you look at it there, the controlling deities of heaven and hell have the final say. So with his deal, forced to walk the earth for eternity with a cold to light his way. And I think about who else is there left to wander the earth. I think in stories you have Cain from Cain and Abel. I think it was in Genesis Genesis 4 or something like that, after he killed his brother, he was forced to toil to walk the earth. And then there was another story, I think, that was in the Bible called The Wandering Jew. And while Jesus was on his way to be crucified, he rebuked him and basically chastised him, Jesus. And so he was forced to walk the earth for eternity, or until the second coming of Christ. I think there's a plant there called the Wandering Jew as well. But different stories of people that have been forced to walk the earth. You can look those up, go and check them out on the internet and stuff like that. But as we say here at the end of a delicious recipe at the end of the night, thank you very much for tuning in and listening here on 107.7 FM New Orleans. You got my wife or girlfriend here, Laura Lee, up next with the Angel Rock here following me. And to all you, have a good night, and we'll see you next Monday. And be aware, follow your instincts, and go out and vote, I guess, and go get informed. Read, and read lots of knowledge. So good night from here. Or maybe we're not good night. Maybe we're still here. Oh, well. Joe, you there? Well, I guess what else can we do? We'll just keep on yapping here until we're done. So, Halloween. What are people going to dress up for Halloween? Let's see. They're going to go as a 2020 Jesus with my long hair. Who knows? I know that also we have coming up on here, I think we have Friday nights. We have a host chat. I think that goes from 10 Eastern till 12 midnight. I guess that'd be 10 is 9 to 11 Central Time, Friday nights. And I believe it's a paranormal host chat talk again. And I believe that's, then we also have a Halloween, or maybe that is the Halloween one. So there'll be all the different hosts from the UPR network will be coming on to yap about Halloween things. And also we have election night host forum that'll be going on where all the different hosts will be following election in the U.S. From all their different areas from around the continent of what's going on with election time. So that'll be sort of interesting to go on. So if you're not interested in following from the mainstream media news coverage and what they're saying, you come out and check out here on UKRN. That'll be also be live. You can watch that live on YouTube, and also we're live on Twitch too as well, which is new. And
is there aliens in here?
I think so.
Yeah, I didn't hear my alarm go off. Always keep an alarm for y'all so I know what's going on. Did I turn everything off? That's a little strange. No, I didn't. Turn that off. Yeah, there we go. Damn, that AC is so loud. You hear that?
Yeah, noise? Yeah.